Chapter 34. Julia had insisted on relieving the nurse at Katerina's bedside in the afternoon, keeping a solitary vigil over her brain-wasted friend. She hated every second of it, knowing she deserved it. Pushing cats towards Kendrick had seemed so clever at the time, an elegant solution. Everybody would wind up with what they wanted, no tears, no heartache. Greg was right. She'd only thought of the deed, never the consequences. Too shallow and self-obsessed. Still a child. Idiot savant. Katerina stirred, turning, her sleep troubled. Dr. Taylor had given her a trauma suppressor. Short-term amnesiac, the woman had explained. It'll kill the cravings for now. But she'd made sure Katerina was infused with tranquilizers throughout the day, only leaving a few periods of brief semi-lucidity for eating and going to the toilet. Julia had been the one spooning soup into her. Katerina had swallowed automatically, incapable of coherent speech, compounding the anguish. Julia had got three of Event Horizon's premier-grade executives working flat out on securing Katerina that Caribbean treatment, trying to buy a place in a detox clinic. They'd been told there was an 8-month waiting list. Julia refused to let that bother her, pulling in the company's favours, bullying the clinic with financial and political pressure. Dr. Taylor had warned her that Katerina's cranial blood vessels were saturated with a symbiont. If its grip was ever going to be broken, then it would have to be done swiftly. She'd buy that bloody Caribbean island if necessary. Anything. Anything at all. She just wanted Kat's back to her old self. Frivolous, vaguely annoying, and utterly carefree. The sun had nearly dropped below the horizon, fluorescing a cloud-stashed western sky to a royal gold, fading to black at its zenith. Julia watched it from the bedroom window, seeing the shadows pool in hollows and nooks across Willem's grounds, spilling out over the grass. The fountain in the lily pond died down, spluttering, its light sensors switching off the pump. Julia activated a single wall-mounted bioloom, then crossed the room and drew the heavy Tudor curtains across both windows. When she'd first left America and the desert, she'd been entranced by dawn and dusk in Europe, cool blues and greens gleaming dully under fiery skies, always different. It had been magical, the expected sadness that she'd missed the desert's beauty never materializing. Tonight, the sight left her totally unmoved. Her emotions seemed to have shut down. The climax would come tonight, she was sure of it. The game had ceased to be a game. And she was responsible. She and Grandpa. Kendrick's maneuverings and power ploys had been thwarted at every stage. She'd stalemated him all across the board. There was nothing left to him now but the physical. Kendrick would have no qualms about that. Strangely, even Greg had warned her about the danger. Greg the liar. Greg the betrayer. His name was the only one capable of piercing the wrap of numbness around her feelings. She'd believed in him like nobody before. Worshipped from afar. Flirted. Opened her soul to him. Confessed the darkest, most shameful secret, and he'd lied to her. Just like all the rest. Men must look on her as some kind of victim waiting to be abused. Except for Adrian. A bleak inner voice said. Adrian adored her female side. He was immune to her money, so far. But knowing her luck, she still couldn't believe she'd been so mistaken about Greg. He'd said she was beautiful. And she couldn't be fooled by smooth talk anymore, not after Kendrick. Then why? Why the lie? Access Blitz Culmination. So-called because it brought all aspects of the case together. The homogenized data packages unfolded within her glacial mind, rotating the bedroom and Katerina 180 degrees from her cognizance. Her processor nodes marshaled it into precise channels once more, a construct that incorporated hard facts, assumptions, suspicions. She ran the logic matrix once more, the fifth time today. It produced a single diamond-hard conviction. No matter how many times she ran it, how much slackness and wishful thinking she incorporated into the matrix channels, the answer was always the same. Liar. Traitor. Thief. Heartbreaker. Cancel Blitz Culmination. One thing it never told her was why Greg would do such a thing. She didn't understand human nature well enough to guess, and now she'd probably never know. Katerina had sunk into an innocent, dreamless sleep. Julia pulled the frilly snowdrop-patterned duvet up around her shoulders. Open channel to NN core. Load other eyes. Limiter #5. She felt her grandfather snuggle into her mind, welcoming his touch. The last person on the whole planet she still trusted. And what a sad comment on her life that was.
"How are we doing?" she asked.
"Greg hasn't moved for 3 hours now. I think Wisbeach must be their nesting ground. Clever, that. So close, yet so far away. I'm not sure how they got across the Fens Basin. Too slow for a tilt fan. Possibly a hovercraft."
I trusted him, Grandpa. Really trusted him. Everything he did and said was always right. He made me believe in him. I thought I was safe.
"I know you did, Juliet. It must hurt. I'm so sorry."
"It doesn't hurt. I don't feel anything. I'm not human anymore."
"Course you are, girl. Don't talk nonsense. You're seeing Adrian again this weekend, aren't you? What you do with him is pretty bloody human, and I approve. He's a nice boy."
"If I'm still around by the weekend."
"Hey! That's no Evans talking. Willem is well protected, and I'm hooked into all the security sensors. Ain't nobody gonna sneak up on you, girl."
"Suppose it's one of the staff. Walshaw, even."
"No, Juliet. Not Morgan. He's been with me for 15 years, almost since you were born."
"Stake your life on it, huh?"
She let the irony filter back to him.
"That's my girl. Keep shining through. But don't you worry. I'm even watching Morgan. No strain on my capacity."
Julia found herself looking down at the wood-panelled study, initially confused by the unusual perspective, a fly on the ceiling. Walshaw was sitting at the long table databasing with his customized terminal. The bald patch on his crown was larger than she'd realized before. Then the incoming squirt from Event Horizon's datanet bloomed in her mind. Walshaw was reviewing the Cray memories as they were being extracted by the Security Division programming team. All the memories had been run through search and classification programs as they came out, analyzed and indexed. He was running through the categories, accessing every mention of Wolf and Event Horizon, double-checking.
"He's been doing that for hours," her grandfather said. "Hunting down that clue Greg was talking about. Hardly the act of a turncoat now, is it?"
"I suppose."
It would be nice to believe in him, at least, Julia thought. But this was her life she was gambling with now. And the list of her mistakes when it came to dealing with people was a long one. Suddenly, she was inundated with a rapid-motion tour of Willem through the security sensors. Visual, infrared, magnetic, electromagnetic, UV laser radar. Millisecond slices of Security Division hardliners patrolling the corridors. Sentinels prowling the grounds. Tobias in his stables. Owls snapped in mid-flight, wings motionless. Field mice twitching their tiny damp noses in the night air. Deserted tracts of landscape, fields and woodland. A kaleidoscope of bright-hued luminous colours and conflicting geometries.
"See, Juliet? All quiet on the Western Front."
Her heart began to beat faster.
"Why is Walshaw bothering with the Krays? We know Kendrick has plugged in with the PSP, but the card carriers organise the Blitz."
"You and I know, yes, Juliet. But I don't think Morgan has put it together yet."
"But it's obvious," she exclaimed.
"To you."
"Oh, Grandpa, what if Greg hasn't worked it out either? What if I was wrong about him? He was so tired, I mean, totally run down. He's been through hell, and it was Kendrick who had him beaten up."
"Relax, girl. First thing I thought of."
"What then?"
"If he's innocent, why are the two of them in Wisbeach? And why didn't Gabriel warn us about him? She's in it with him."
"Oh.
Sorry, Juliet."
The depression enveloped her again, its return total. She could see the world simply now, black and white. No right, no wrong. There was just survival which mattered. Instinctive self-preservation, primeval. The only complexity lay in method. The acceptance decided her.
"When can you hit them?" she asked.
Every 108 minutes, starting in 72 minutes. Mark.
Do it.
Her lips synchronized with her thoughts. But no sound emerged.
Okay, Juliet. Why don't you take a break? Katharina isn't going anywhere.
No, I'll stay here. It wouldn't be right leaving her, not now.
I'll give you a status check nearer the time.
Love you, Grandy.
Wipe other eyes, limiter, #5. Exit NN Core. Julia sat down on the barrel-like Copenhagen chair beside the bed, hand automatically sliding down the side of the cushion. Her fingers touched the hard plastic casing, reassuring her. She drew out the weapon. An ash-gray cylinder 30 centimeters long and 3 wide, a thin, grooved handle at one end. It resembled a fat, long-barreled pistol, weighing about 1.5 kilos. The discharge end was solid, with a small circular indentation, gritted with minute carbonized granules. Arms Corps was printed along the side in black lettering. She'd stolen it from Greg after he'd brought Katz back to the finance division offices, slipping it off Walshaw's desk and into her bag as soon as the desolating revelation of his betrayal had sunk in. She'd been horribly afraid of him, what he might do. When she'd got back to Willem, she'd accessed the Manor Library's memory core, looking up what she'd got. A stun shot, capable of immobilizing an adult at 45 meters. 4 shots would kill. The power unit was charged to 95% capacity, giving her almost 200 shots. She'd spent the morning familiarizing herself with it. Safety catch, grip, aiming. Kept at it until she was satisfied she could do it by touch alone. It tended to wobble unless she used both hands. The library said there was no recoil. And nobody knew she'd got it, not even Morgan Walshaw. Her last line of defense. Its solidity and weight injecting a primitive kind of confidence into a badly demoralized psyche. She wished it would be Kendrick himself who came. There'd be no inhibition holding her back then. Sending all 95% into his jerking, burning body. But it would be some tech-merc hardliner, anonymous, a fast-moving shadow in the dark. Her one advantage was that he'd have to come to her. A slight advantage, but it might make the difference between life and death. The odds were impossible for the nodes to compute. Too many variables, thank the Lord. That sort of foreknowledge was something she could do without. Julia sat back in the Copenhagen chair, putting the Arms Corps on her lap, resting her chin on her hands.
Looking at Katz, she realized she'd even been emptied of envy. Her friend's beautiful face meant nothing.
In fact, when Katz grew older, she would have lost far more. You can't lose what you haven't got.